WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. If you get around the city using public transit, odds are you have had more complaints than compliments for the Chicago Transit Authority in recent years. Between navigating falling revenues and struggling with a shortage of bus and train drivers that slows down service, there's plenty of room for growth for the transit agency. To learn more, I sat down with Manny Ramos, an investigative reporter for Block Club Chicago, and Lauren Fitzpatrick, a Chicago Sun-Times reporter. Manny starts with how the past few years of CTA struggles are impacting riders today.
We have buses disappearing from the schedule, so folks are having to wait at the bus stop much longer than they normally would have. Then there's also the inconsistencies of trains that are driving through the rail system. And this is really sort of like added to the fact that a lot of these transit systems or trains and buses are much dirtier than it used to be. And it's really just concerning for folks who depend on the system.
Mm-hmm. I want to dig now into some of the challenges, some more of the challenges that transit agencies are facing. And starting with the employees and staffing, because it feels like a lot of the issues that the CTA deals with are connected to this. I mean, does the CTA have enough workers, Manny? Let's start there.
So CTA says that they have bolstered their bus operators, so they're sort of close to what it was pre-pandemic, though they're still trying to improve on that. But they are still facing an operator shortage or transit operator shortage at the moment, which is a lot of the reason why, you know, headways on trains are 10, 12, 15 minutes compared to the 5 or 7 minutes that we're normally used to.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, also images going viral on Twitter and other social platforms that show people waiting for more than 30 minutes for a train to arrive. And these are some real concerns here with Dorval Carter, the CTA president, saying that they're hoping to get the trains back up and running to where it was pre-pandemic by the end of the year, but not entirely sure that's going to be possible.
How has the CTA responded to this driver's death?
Unfortunately, they haven't really responded, just to be blunt. They are standing by how they handled the situation. And with any questions that we ask, sort of like how long she was driving before she suffered this emergency, you know, what kind of review process are you doing? Why was it that a bus driver was sort of in distress for so long and no one came to help them? They're refusing to answer those simple questions.
Sounds like a good time to bring Lauren into the conversation, because speaking of employees, Lauren, you recently reported on some issues that they face in the CTA's Second Chance program. Yeah. First, so we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this program for, and how exactly does it work?
So the CTA Second Chance program is a program that's a little bit more than a decade old, and it was set up to help ex-offenders and people facing other barriers to employment to get job skills and help turn their lives around a little bit. So it's advertised as a 12-month apprenticeship to gain work experience and pick up soft skills too.
Right.
And basically the apprentices learn to clean buses or trains during that 12-month time. And then they're encouraged to apply for permanent work with the CTA as well. For all of this, they're paid $15.80 an hour.
Okay.
So roughly, was that minimum wage in Illinois?
Yeah, probably just a little over.
Maybe a little over. And they get a transit pass. But that's their only benefit. They don't get paid time off. They don't get health insurance. And most of the work is done overnight when the system isn't running.
So there are issues, though, I hear, right? It's not all smooth. What are the participants facing in that program?
I would say that the issues fall into two buckets. One is that participants are not being hired by the CTA very often into full-time permanent jobs. And then the other issues are more of like workplace safety and security issues. And in terms of the jobs, like, it's so curious because as recently as April's board meeting with the CTA, President Dorval Carter stood up and celebrated Second Chance Month,
yeah,
and had this lovely presentation, and he touted the benefits of giving individuals like these jobs. And the quote he said was to provide them with really good CTA union paying jobs. But we ran analysis of all the apprentices against who was ultimately hired as a permanent employee.
Yeah.
And we found just 14% of apprentices land full-time permanent jobs.
So are the transit agencies and city leaders, Carter even, are they responding now that we've found
not to me
this? Nothing so far.
Not to me.
You know, we also can't forget that the CTA will run out of its federal funding in a couple years, right, in 2026. And that's going to leave the CTA, Metra, and PACE systems with a $700 million budget shortfall. I mean, do we have insight? Is there a plan to tackle that shortfall? I'm looking at you as well as Manny.
Right now, it looks like the plan is to get more state funding. That seems to really be the big push for the CTA. Whether or not they're going to be able to do that, there seems to be a lot of questions with state legislatures if they want to go that route and or go a different route that requires some restructuring of the board.
Anything else you've heard, Lauren?
I mean, I just read the Chicago Sun-Times every day. So I saw this morning that that some state legislators have proposed a bill that would help, that would restructure the CTA and put it into a new agency overseeing the regional transit in the area, and that potentially could come with some more state funding too. But it looks like there would have to be some kind of reform in order for that money to come through.
We'll leave it there. Chicago Sun-Times reporter Lauren Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Manny Ramos is sticking around and will add another voice to this conversation. Morgan Matteron is a policy organizer for Commuters Take Action. That's a transportation advocacy group here in Chicago. Welcome to Reset, Morgan.
Thank you, Sasha. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So any initial reaction to what we just heard about from Lauren?
Yeah, absolutely. On the restructuring, I think riders and in transit advocates are very excited about this plan because as it stands now, in my day job, I work for the city and I know aldermen are getting increasingly frustrated with the CTA and many constituents and transit advocates are reaching out to their aldermen. But the way that the governmental structure is now, the CTA is not necessarily governed by city council. Mm. So by restructuring in this way, it gives both the state and the city more power. But one concern in moving more power into the state's hands, it's having more suburban representation. And some folks are concerned whether that suburban representation might mean less funding and on the CTA and in public transit in general.
Yeah. Well, there have been outcries lately, Manny, about the recent appointment of Pastor Michael Eady to its board. So talk about what the concerns are here.
Yeah. So we have been covering the Chicago Transit Board for almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
We've written stories about how the board itself has been sort of a political position for those who, cozy up to mayors. This is a body that is supposed to govern the CTA, specifically during a time where we're approaching a fiscal cliff, like you mentioned, but also are facing everyday issues of riders complaining about buses not arriving on time.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a sake of just putting a number out there, over the past, 40 years or so and over 50 appointees, there have only really been three clear-cut transportation experts that have sat on that board.
Only three.
Normally, this board has been filled with, folks that are politically connected,
mm-hmm.
Pastors and things of that sort are also a feature. In a normal world or where everything's operating perfectly fine, they look at sort of like having these, pastoral appointments as a way of sort of like understanding what everyday people are experiencing and sort mm-hmm. of like providing that voice. When we have, a constant rotation of them, we have two on the board at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really raises concern of with all the issues going on, is that the correct move to be doing now?
Does this person truly have the expertise to help us fix all the things that are wrong.
Especially coming out of the pandemic where ridership has been down and pandemic aid is running out.
Yeah. Even the governor's concerned, right, about the job that President Dorval Carter is doing.
Governor Pritzker has come out and said that he thinks it's time for, I believe, an evolution of leadership.
Yeah, new leadership.
New leadership.
That's pretty strong words.
I believe so. And whether or not that means President Dorval Carter gets replaced, reporters who asked him that question pressed him on it. What does that mean? And he just simply reiterated that he thinks it's time for new leadership. At the moment, there are only two entities or two groups that can probably get this done. That's the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Brandon Johnson. And if the board sees that Carter's unfit, they can also have some power to sort of replace him.
Mm. Morgan, Commuters Take Action wrote an open letter to the CTA's leadership talking about your experience advocating for change and transparency. So talk to us about that. I mean, what are you asking of the board and the president and Mayor Johnson?
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking for a board that actually rides transit. We're looking for transportation experts, but folks who are completely familiar with the system. Lester Barkley, who is the president of the CTA board, has publicly said that he does not ride the CTA, and he does not believe he should have to ride the CTA to be on the board. So when you have board members like that, and you have a board that has continuously clapped President Carter at every transit board meeting we've been to, it can get quite frustrating to not hear our concerns be heard. So we're asking from Mayor Brandon Johnson to make a leadership change at the CTA. We believe that the issues are stemming from the top, but also from the leadership team at the CTA. And we've given them plenty of chances. As Manny mentioned, President Carter has said that service will be returned by the end of 2024, but operator numbers are stagnating. There's nothing showing that will happen. So we don't want to have to wait till the end of the year to see this action happen.
Have you lost faith in the CTA?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there have definitely been some positive changes. Bus service has been increasing, but it is, as somebody who does not know how to drive, it is increasingly frustrating having to wait for the bus for 20 plus minutes for getting on packed trains in the morning. And it is detrimental to our communities. It's detrimental to our economy, and it's detrimental to our city.
You're a transportation planner on the City Council's Committee on Pedestrian and Traffic Safety as well. How difficult do you feel that it's been to make change happen through this group?
My life has been consumed. I've been in Commuters Take Action for 2 years. So in my day job, I work on transportation. And in my off hours, I work on transportation. So I joined Commuters Take Action because through working for an alderman, I saw that it was very difficult for aldermen to make this change on their own. And there needed to be outside advocacy. On the CTA front, I think we've hit a brick wall with the CTA. Many folks are asking, well, why don't you just have a conversation with the CTA? Why don't you just ask President Carter to explain why he continues cutting service and not communicating that out? Well, we have, and we're not getting the answers we need. There is no engagement. There is no communication, and service continues to decline. We can only continuously report true data and true numbers and rise up the voices of commuters, but it is insane to me that the mayor of Chicago and the president of the CTA cannot face this problem or even communicate that they are thinking about facing this problem.
Manny, as I mentioned before, I mean, all of this is happening as Illinois lawmakers are expected to introduce legislation that would make the CTA and Metra and PACE one organization.
Yeah. So the move would basically or essentially replace the RTA, which is now the governing body. Well, I don't know if it's the governing body, but it sort of has authority over both or all three, the CTA, Metra, and PACE.
Right,
and
so a regional authority.
So this new legislation would basically make one entity where then they can have a group of directors from the collar counties, as well as Chicago, with some appointments from the state, that basically will restructure everything so that it is more seamless when it comes to fare integration, as other things. But, you know, there are some concerns with a position like this, as it gives sort of an uneven advantage to a lot of collar counties who don't really rely on transportation as much as Chicagoans. So there is some concern of equity issues that may come from something like this.
Morgan, do you see a clear solution here?
In terms of the restructuring, I feel positive, but we have concerns, like Manny said. And I'll be honest, that legislation came out this morning, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet. So I think we have to read it, and we're going to discuss it as an organization soon. But I think changing the governing structure and changing the leadership, for sure, are necessary.
Morgan Mataram is a policy organizer for Commuters Take Action, and Manny Ramos is an investigative reporter for Block Club Chicago. Thank you both so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager, Ellie Gilbert-Bear, and Brenda Ruiz, who also mixed this episode. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. For more coverage of transit, politics, and more, make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk again later today.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.